Thank you, Joyce, for reading that passage to us. Today we're looking at Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10, the verses that were read out. Jesus comes to Zacchaeus' house, and we're told that the Lord Jesus Christ, on his way to Jerusalem for the very last time, crossed the Jordan River. Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem and he was passing through Jericho. He crossed the Jordan River from the eastern side for the last time. The Jordan River and the city of Jericho, what sort of memories do this evoke? What do they remind us of? We do know that the children of Israel crossed the River Jordan at a time that we will say was the wrong time of the year, because it was the time when the tide was at its highest. And that memory reminds us that this God, our God, will not be constrained by times or seasons or by natural boundaries or barriers. Jericho, we know, was initially inhabited by the Canaanites before the wall came down. And Jericho was a place that was later visited by Elijah and Elisha. It was in this very same Jericho that the impossible, the incredulous, happened. The kind of event that a 21st century scientific, educated, sophisticated mind will scoff at. The walls of Jericho, we are told, came down, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. It was in this same Jericho that idolatry abounds, sexual promiscuity, rituals involving child sacrifice took place. And this Jericho reminds us of an awesome God, a God of justice. And this justice was carried out by the children of Israel. But it reminds us of an awesome God. And finally, Jericho reminds us of a lady called Rahab, a prostitute, we're told, who took a risk by hiding the spies that came to see the land. And in doing so, she crossed the line, she identified with the people of God. And in doing so, she was drafted in the commonwealth of God's people. And this story reminds us of the love of God, of a God of love, a God that reforms the least expected person. So Christ on the way to Jerusalem for the last time. And verse 2 tells us about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus means pure or righteous. But this particular Zacchaeus was very far from being pure. He was, we are told, a man of authority. He was a chief tax collector. Tax collectors were hated because they were seen as agents, as instruments of the oppressive Roman government. They kept whatever they collected above the required amount, and in the process, many of them became very wealthy. They had the power to summon Herod's troops to deal with people, with tax evaders, even with those that complained about the amount of the tax. So they were very powerful. And a chief tax collector was very wealthy because he employed the other tax collectors. And Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. And this verse tells us that Zacchaeus was eager to see Jesus. Zacchaeus did not want to rely on second-hand accounts. He wanted a first-hand experience. And Zacchaeus reminds us of the need for us to seek that first-hand experience of God. This Zacchaeus, we're told, had a great and urgent desire to see Jesus with his physical eyes. And Zacchaeus' attitude challenges me because I examine myself, do I have such great and urgent desire to see Jesus with my spiritual eyes? So Zacchaeus was eager to see Jesus, but vastly tells us that he had a problem. He had an obstacle. Is there someone in this audience, is there someone here at the moment, present with us, without a problem, without any obstacle, without any issues? Because I love to meet such a person. But after that person, the rest of us that have our various challenges, our obstacles, and our problems, what can we learn from Zacchaeus? And what was Zacchaeus' problem? What was his obstacle? He was small. So because of his size, he could not see Christ in the crowd. Christ was not carried around by men on the shoulders. He didn't have a chariot. So it was in the throng of in the middle of a crowd. Zacchaeus could not see Jesus. This was his problem. That was Zacchaeus' problem. What are the things that prevent us from seeing Christ with our spiritual eyes? And how do we handle those obstacles? How do we tackle those hindrances? Brothers and sisters, what great things can we learn from this man of little stature? In verse 4, we can learn that Zacchaeus, a prominent man, he threw aside all decorum. He threw aside all etiquette. He ran ahead like a little boy, and he picked a suitable position to see Jesus with his physical eyes. We know in the olden days how people, men dressed. They wore their robes, long robes. And I can imagine that picture of a grown man running ahead. A wealthy man, most likely wearing some expensive robe or dress or attire, but did not care about what people would think, did not care about his expensive robe, but he ran up, ran ahead, and climbed a tree. What can we learn about Zacchaeus? We can learn that his desire was sincere. His desire was determined. And sincere and determined desire will see less of obstacles, will see less of impossibilities, and will see more of God's possibilities, God's solutions, God's intervention, God's hand. Sincere zeal may sometimes cast aside the customs, traditions and etiquettes of men. And we are told in verse 5 that Christ looked up and saw Zacchaeus. In the middle of the crowd, Christ looked up and he focused, he zoomed in on Zacchaeus. It's interesting that Zacchaeus' mission was just to see Christ. That's his goal. But not to be seen by Christ. He just wanted to see the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, this much talked about man. His goal was to catch a glimpse, not to be noticed, not to present himself as a man of importance. His mission was not to exalt himself. And we see that this mission, this goal was rewarded. It was honored. Christ looked up and saw him. And we see that Christ looks at the inside and not the outside. Christ could see the zeal, the passion, the desire, the urgency in Zacchaeus. He took note of those efforts and he rewarded him. It might sound too rude to us that the Lord invited himself to Zacchaeus' house for lunch, but Zacchaeus felt differently. He was honored that he, an outcast, a hated man, could play host to Jesus Christ. So Christ looked up and saw him. And not just that, Christ called him by name. He that made us, he that formed us, he knows us by name. He knows our circumstances. He knows our challenges. He knows where we are coming from. He knows those struggles which cannot be explained, cannot be verbalized. He called him by name in the same way that he called Saul. And he's still calling men and women today by name. Come down, he says. So Christ saw Zacchaeus. Christ called him by name, and he told him to come down. And for us, we see the need for that total surrender to come down. For us, we see the need to come down from that throne. Every one of us has his empire or her empire. Every human being has a throne. And the center of that throne, it's me, mine, I, self. Come down, Christ says, to come down from that throne, to approach Christ, to carry out his total surrender, to humble ourselves, to give our all. So Zacchaeus came down, and he was very happy that Christ will spend time under his roof. He was very happy that he could learn of Christ. And it's interesting that for Zacchaeus, he needed the physical presence of Christ for this to happen, to have this eminent man under his roof. But for us, we have the privilege that we can always have his spiritual presence with us at all times. Come down, Christ says. And verse 7 tells us that the Jews took offense because Christ went to stay with a sinner, a chief tax collector. And verse 8 tells us that Zacchaeus stood up and made a public speech of repentance. He stood up, perhaps implying that this wealthy man of little stature perhaps was lying at the feet of Jesus before now. He stood up to address Jesus, not the men, not the crowd, because ultimately, Jesus Christ will be the judge of his life, of my life, of your life, of our lives, the ultimate judge. Yeah, there may be times that men may, we may feel the need to defend ourselves, but ultimately, Christ will be the judge. And the speech that Zacchaeus gave in verse 8 showed the transformation that had taken place in his life, the change. And that speech, in that speech, Zacchaeus said, he will give half of his wealth to the poor, which is far more than the fifth that the Jewish custom dictated or stipulated. And Zacchaeus goes further to promise to offer restitution to those he had wronged or cheated. And in the final verses in chapter 9, Christ says, calls Zacchaeus a son of Abraham. There's a hidden meaning here because these people, tax collectors, they were treated as heathens, infidels, people outside that promise given to Abraham, the children of Abraham, the sons of Abraham, the children of Israel. But by calling Zacchaeus a son of Abraham, Christ is telling the crowd that this tax collector, this man who has repented, he's no man outsider. He's now a son. He's here. He's a son of Abraham. And it says, salvation to the house, good news. I mean, Sue prayed for the home, prayed for the family. Yes, salvation to the house, salvation to our families, salvation to our homes. At this time, when we are in the midst of a battle of moral values. So here, we see that Christ, on his final trip to Jerusalem, crossing the Jordan River into Jericho, we learn of Zacchaeus, a chief tax collector, who ran ahead, who chose a suitable spot because he wanted to see Jesus. We learn about Zacchaeus, a man who threw aside decorum, custom, traditions, etiquette, who cared less about perhaps his expensive robe. All he wanted was to see Jesus, to see Jesus. And we are told that Christ saw him. Christ honored that zeal. Christ rewarded that desire. Zacchaeus ran ahead to see Christ. But Christ looked at him, and Christ went beyond his expectations. Christ looked at him. And friends, we know, when we bring our circumstances, when we bring our challenges before Christ, he's able to look into our circumstances. He's able to look into our obstacles. He's able to look into our challenges. He's able to make our mountains molehills. He's able to resolve those issues that worry us. He's able to save. And Christ said, "This son of Abraham, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Amen.